this time. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are met. And from you there are no secrets there. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
A reading from Genesis. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people. They all have the same language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Psalter assigned for this occasion is Psalm 104. We will read it together. O Lord,
I am the Lord your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the the great and wide sea, with its living things too many to number, creatures both small and great. There move the ships, and there is that Leviathan, which you have made for the sport of it. All of them look to you, to give them their food in due season. You gave it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things. You hide your face, and they are terrified. You take away their breath, and they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in all his works. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being. May these words of mine please him. I will rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability.
Es wohnten aber in Jerusalem Juden, gezwungen Männer aus aller Hegelwerken unter dem Himmel. Alles in des Gust intend kam die Magen, sie simmen und würden und bestrühen, denn yonder und heuten sind sie in ingen sprechen runden. Sie essen es aber alle wovon such sprachen, sind sie sies, sind des die der Ruden, nicht alle Galilerien? Wozu hören wir sie dem Jeden, in unserer Kusch sprachen, in der wir gruben würden? Parthien und Meden, Elamite und von Boten von Mesopotamien, Juden und Kampurchen, Putens und Asians, Phygians, Pamphylians, Agapian and vom de Gusenef, Librans, Bikern and de Huren and Wilden and Rumen and Juden and Postulin, Kirten über wer uns sie und sehen, und sprechen die großen Taten guten Wirken, und sie instern sie alle in Gürchen und Wilken und sprechen in a Zimmer üben, was alles des wohl sehen. Aber über spracht und sprachen, sie sind wohl zu summen weinen.
Entonces, Pedro se puso de pie junto con los otros 11 apóstoles y con voz fuerte dijo, Judíos y todos los que viven en Jerusalén, sepan ustedes esto y oigan bien lo que les voy a decir. Estos no están borrachos como ustedes creen, ya que apenas son las 9 de la mañana. Al contrario, aquí está sucediendo lo que anunció el profeta Joel cuando dijo, sucederá que en los últimos días, dice Dios, derramaré mi espíritu sobre toda la humanidad. Los hijos e hijas de ustedes comunicarán mensajes proféticos. Los jóvenes tendrán visiones y los viejos tendrán sueños. También sobre mis siervos y siervas derramaré mi espíritu en aquellos días y comunicarán mensajes proféticos. En el cielo mostraré grandes maravillas y sangre, fuego y nubes de humo en la tierra. El sol se volverá oscuridad y la luna como sangre antes que llegue el día del Señor, día grande y glorioso. Pero todos los que invoquen el nombre del Señor alcanzarán la salvación.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ according to John. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own. But the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
All those people who had gathered in Jerusalem saw those apostles and they said, "Can these be Galileans?" I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So Episcopalians, we are a people of dichotomies. We hold things in tension. This is who we are. This is why we're so good. So we hold all these things in tension, right? We've got, death and resurrection. We hold those two right there. Those are two realities that we hold simultaneously, right? We hold the body of Christ and communion bread and the wine of communion and the blood of Christ. We hold those things in communion. For a lot of Episcopalians, we hold golf or brunch and going to church. We hold those two things. And we are good at this as Episcopalian people. And our readings this morning offer us just such a dichotomy to hold on to, to figure out. It's our spiritual work, how we hold these two truths at once. We hear the Gospel of John, this very intimate conversation between Jesus and his friends on the eve of his crucifixion. And we remember this echoed in the words that Jesus, or that John opened that Gospel with, which is, "In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word came among us and dwelt among us," right? If you translate that literally, it is, and God came among us and pitched his tent and tabernacled with us. That's the literal translation. God pitched his tent among us, and tabernacled here, right? So a very intimate, very close up God. But then we get this Acts reading, which was wonderfully done in three languages. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for that. They wanted to do it at the same time. They paper, rock, scissored for it and came out, do it in order. That's how that came out. So this picture is a God who takes another form, right? Remember the words here? There was a rush of wind, right, where the disciples were there hiding in their despair. There was a rush, the sound of a rushing wind. And then they spoke about the glory of God, what God had done in the person of Jesus. And all these people who had come from all over the place, right, that said that they were living in Jerusalem. What Luke means there is that, and remember, Luke wrote Acts too, so it's Acts and Luke. Those are together. Anyway, so what Luke means there is that here at the festival of Sukkot, the festival of booths, Pentecost, as we call it in Greek, all these people were gathered to make their offerings. These are converts to the faith, people who spoke different languages, and they were there for the festival, living in Jerusalem. And all those folks were so amazed at this thing, this glory of God that these people were talking about, that there was fire, that they saw it as fire. Now think about rushing wind and fire, right? This is not a tent being pitched among us. This is a dynamic, moving fire. It's destructive. You know, it changes things, it pushes, it breathes, it is alive, it's ever changing, right? This is the picture that Luke has for us, and we're holding these things in dichotomy this morning in two different sort of ways, trying to understand this mystery of God. When I went to seminary, I was certain that the way to figure out who God was and to get closer to God was to turn around and go back to the place where God pitched his tent in my own life, which was at like little St. James Episcopal Church, which, man, like Pentecost, they wore red because the color of the church was red, and there was a duncan booth for the priest. We're never going to do that here. I'm sure they're doing that right now at St. James in Knoxville. Not here. Not here, folks. Here, we're making a bunch of food. That's how we're doing it. Feed the priest, not dunk the priest, right? It's kind of how we're doing that. So, I lost where I was. So I was in seminary, and and trying to figure out how to get closer to God, right? Because that's what you do as a priest, right? You get closer to God. That's the whole point. And so I figured if I sort of went back to my roots where I met God in the first place. So I thought about, well, what did I do at St. James? I was an acolyte. I was on the altar guild. And in a disastrous way, I was a part of the choir for a little while. So I did those things. And I thought, well, let's see. Not really any acolytes in seminary. Certainly not joining the choir. And I was looking around and there was this job available. You could apply for it. Sacristan, which is a fancy way of saying altar guild. Right? So I applied for that job. Got the job. Started doing altar guild work in this 1868 built chapel. Protestant chapel. Right? Started doing the altar guild work in there. And I learned all about how hard it is. Where my altar guild people, raise your hands. Oh man, it's just like tough. It's unimaginable. Just love these people because they're giving you a great gift. So it's a lot. Like, you got to remember where the priest, like, if he wants it on the left side or if she wants it on the right side there with the missal, and you gotta know where to put the linens and where to hang the stuff. And man, and if people get wine on the little embroidery on the purificator, oh God, save those people. Something about that. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to be an altar guild person or a sacristan, right? And so this is the work that I started to do, and I thought, this is how. I will bury myself deep in the tradition of the church, and I will find God there, and I will be a priest. And I'll wear chasubles like this one. That's right. I was ordained in this chasuble, by the way. So then, one faithful October morning of my first year of seminary, literally like 2 months into the job, right? I'm in class. I think it was New Testament. And this person comes running into our classroom, interrupts the class, and screams, "The chapel is on fire." So we all go out onto the grove. And sure enough, hand in hand in this crescent around the chapel, and there it was, just in flames, just the whole thing. You know, it was a big tinderbox. It was just built out of wood in the 19th century there. And I don't want to minimize the tragedy of this thing. I mean, there was a Francis Scott Key piano, donated piano to the school, that was burned up in this thing. Two Tiffany windows that perished. Like a 200-year-old Bible that got burned, King James Bible. I mean, it was a real loss. I don't think I sort of knew the magnitude of the loss until I called Bishop von Rosenberg, who was the bishop at that time, and told him what was happening. And he said, "Robert, I was married in that chapel." So then that's when I knew. All the saturated prayers on those walls were sort of going up as incense to God, right? And it was this big loss. It was this moment of standing there that my identity was sort of burning down there. It was like fire, right? So what happens? What do you do then? What do you do? Let's ask the disciples. What do you do when your hopes and your ideas about how to get closer to God in one act are burned to the ground? I bet if I unpacked or opened up the lives and the dreams and the hopes and the spirituality of the folks in this room, I would see many of these stories. Moments where we believed, okay, here it is. This is my path. This is the way to get closer to God and connectedness and understanding and peace and mutuality and all the things that I desire. And then that gets burned down. And the loss of a job or a relationship or the loss of death of a friend, the loss of an opportunity, an illness, these things in many forms, they burn down. Like that chapel burned down, right? And the question is, what are we going to do with that fire, right? On campus there, what we did was we started fighting, like Episcopalians do, right, about where we were going to worship, right? And the mode of arguing among us fledgling Episcopal priests, of course, was emails. So we started writing emails to each other. We wrote an email out here, so this is what I think we should worship at. Bam. Oh, well, that's stupid, and this is why. Bam. So these emails started flying, right? And the atomic bomb of emails was the reply all, right? If you reply at all, it was like, my gosh, this person is pulling out the big gun. You don't reply all to this email. And so these emails were going back and forth. People wanted to worship across the street at the little Emmanuel Chapel of another church. Some people wanted to worship on the other side of campus where there was a high school and they had a chapel. Some people wanted to worship outside in the grove. Some people wanted to move around. Some people wanted to the temporary space, and everybody had were sure about what they wanted and could articulate it and the theological reasons for it and why they did Leviticus this way, and this is what we were going to do, right? And the arguments were flying back and forth, and that's how that went up until Jillian, who was a year ahead of me and sort of an exchange student from Swaziland, wrote a reply all email, not arguing about where we should worship, but reminding us about the power of fire. She said, "I hear all this fighting, but in my culture, fire is renewing. It's a chance to let go of the old so that something new can spring up. It's a part of the cycle of life, and it gives us something. This is what we believe in our own culture." And I wonder if that's what those folks saw in those apostles with the fire over their heads, right? Why we wear red right now, today, right? Why all you fine people are in red, and we got the red balloons. With the kids earlier at St. Albans, we had flash paper. We sent some real fire up into the air, right? Fire. This living, breathing, alive thing. Is this how we understand the work of the Holy Spirit as Episcopalians? As something that's dangerous, that can consume us, right? That can destroy our vision of how the world is supposed to be for the sake of what love demands, right? Is that what we believe about the Holy Spirit, us Episcopalians? You know, it's funny, I read in the Acts account, the people who are watching the apostles, they say, "Aren't these Galileans? Aren't these Galileans? How do we understand this powerful thing they're talking about?" I imagine people out there saying, "Aren't these Episcopalians? Aren't these Episcopalians up there? Aren't they supposed to be at a wine and cheese social right now? Who are these folks doing this thing for us? Who are these people bringing the power of the Holy Spirit into the world?" I was a part of this little community called Southside Abbey for a long time. It's still going on. It's down at St. Paul's. You can go and visit it on Friday nights, right? I would go there on Friday nights and help out my friend Bob Leopold. He was the priest who did that. One time Bob asked me if I would be the priest there, and I show up, and there I was. I was doing the priest thing, and Bob wasn't there, and I was trying to pull everything together. And we were consecrating pizza crust that night. I thought, oh man, this is bad. This is not what I went to seminary for, right? And so I'm doing the Holy Eucharist over the pizza crust, right? I'm in dignified Oran's position here, doing the over the pizza crust. And this, I'm trying to make a serious moment out of what is not a serious moment. And this man walks into the back of the heart gallery there where we were having it. And he's got this teardrop tattoo. And he's on his phone, and he's speaking at about this volume right here. You all know those people. He's speaking about this volume right here, right on his phone. And I'm thinking, does he not know that I am the priest, and I'm the one that's supposed to be talking right now? Has nobody told this guy? And so we're going around, and we're giving bread out, you know, pizza, little, breaking off a little pizza crust, giving it out to folks. And I get around to this guy with the teardrop tattoo, and he says, "I don't want that." And then he drops an expletive there, too. That I won't drop here, but and came this close, kicking that guy out, this close. But the Holy Spirit, she's good. She stayed my hand there. She said, "Don't do that." So I didn't kick that guy out, right? And at Southside Abbey, they do it a little bit different. They have the bread, and then they read the gospel, and then they have a little holy conversation about the gospel, and then they do the wine, right? And so we got to that part where we're having that holy conversation, and it was the season of Christmas, like the Sunday or the Friday after Christmas. And so the gospel was that one that from John, "In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word pitched its tent among us and tabernacled here," right? That was the gospel that day. And we're going around, we're talking about it, and my man, teardrop tattoo guy, stands up and says, "You know, I have to pitch my tent in different places all the time because I'm homeless. And oftentimes I have to move my tent around because I'm not safe. But I feel safe knowing that the Holy Spirit is pitching his tent alongside me." And that was the moment when I saw the fire over his head, right? The Holy Spirit there, right? Where I realized that what we do together when we gather at St. Thaddeus Episcopal Church has less to do with all this fancy stuff and more to do with the fire that consumes us in the love of Jesus Christ out into a world in desperate need of that love. That's more about what that's about, right? And so we wear red and we celebrate today. But I wonder if we can do such things, love in such profound ways, trust in such wonderful ways, that people will look at us and say, are these Episcopalians? Amen.
Please stand with me and let us share our faith together by reading the Nicene Creed found on page 8 of your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and a life of the world to come. Amen.
In the glory of the Paschal light, we pray to God. God, awake those who sleep. Rise us from death. Bring newness and change to your church, O God, that we might serve you with courage and grace. Bring new hope to your world, O God, that all might know the goodness of your love. Lead us from the empty tomb to proclaim your grace in this nation and inspire our leaders toward peace and cooperation. The resurrected Christ is a mission of hope to those who suffer. We especially pray for Margaret, Steve, Nicole, JR, John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Ryan and Haley, Teddy, Richard, Regina, Irene, June, Michael, Laura, Taylor, Shay, Pat, Alberta, Tom, Jane, Tony, Zach, Chuck and Betsy, Michael, Clara, Georgina, and all those whom you now name.
We pray for children as they exit schools into summer camps. We pray for children going to camp for the first time or away from their parents overnight for the first time.
We also pray for those children who have nowhere to go this summer.
For Kathleen Osment. For Bob Burke, who died. We pray for the members of our armed forces, We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays, especially Greg Whalen. We give thanks for those celebrating an anniversary, especially Sally and Jean Sieg. God, resurrect us.
So that we may be in the power of your love.
After you were raised, you ate and drank with the disciples. Bring us and all who have died peace and assurance of the resurrection.
Remind us today to share your eternal kingdom.
In the Easter light, change our hearts that we might grow larger in faith and hope.
Help us to reach out with Christ's life-giving hands.
Christ has burst forth from the tomb, making all things new. Grant that we may now live by faith and with joy behold the coming of your resurrection work in the world around us. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good afternoon to all you wonderful folks dressed in red today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What a wonderful sight it is to look out and see. Firstly, just to make sure you know that there is a feast available after this service in the parish hall, and all are welcome. As you saw, Lanny the dog already got a head start on that feast. Came, came in here during the gospel just to make sure that we weren't eating yet. So come over and say happy birthday to the church. It will be a joyous time, so come gather with us. A couple of things. This coming Tuesday, we'll do an instructed Eucharist here at 6 o'clock, instructed Eucharist, followed by sort of the beginning of an inquirer's class. We'll talk a little bit about sacraments, but the real work is going to be asking you what you want to gain from this kind of engagement, like an inquirer's class. But if you're interested in learning more about your faith, about the church, about our tradition, if you're interested in sharing those things, if you're interested in pursuing confirmation or baptism, come on. Come on to this thing. Come to as many or as little as you want. But we start this coming Tuesday at 6 o'clock with an instructed Eucharist here. There are other announcements that are in your bulletin. Before I want Linda, do you want to give your plug about music?
I'm going to work on this week for the rest of the summer, so please turn in at least one or two of your favorite hymns, and let's get those going through the summer, and we can all enjoy those. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Linda. I would like to invite a special guest to come join me. Allison Kendrick is here. She, like a true Episcopalian, she is sitting all the way in the back of the church, in the very back row there. There's this joke that goes, why do Episcopalians sit in the back row? Because there's no seats in the parking lot. I want to welcome Allison, and her wife Meredith is here too back there, who is a poet and a wonderful person in her own right. Allison and I worked together when she first moved to Chattanooga. She's a dear friend of mine, somebody I respect deeply, and she's also happened to be running a day camp for children on the west side of Chattanooga through Renaissance Presbyterian Church. It's called Renaissance Day Camp. And I just want to say a couple things before I let her say a couple things, which is Allison has done this fantastic job. She has a real gift for bringing different types of folks together. So there's Presbyterians and Baptists and conservatives and liberals, man, coming together to do camp for children and providing their love. And it's a free camp for kids, something extremely to do in the summer. It's elementary aged. I'm sure Allison will tell you more about it. But let me give you some instructions about how you can support that camp. This is the first of two times I'm going to say it. So when the plate comes around, you can make out a check to St. Thaddeus and put day camp in the memo line. Day camp in the memo line. Or you can give cash directly to Allison, and that will make its way to support the day camp. But I want her to say a couple things about it.
Like Robert said, I moved to Chattanooga 3 years ago, started working at St. Albans doing communications, and kind of around the same time the Episcopal Diocese asked if I would start a summer camp in Chattanooga. They'd known my background of about 15 summers of doing Episcopal summer camps in the Diocese of Alabama, and so I decided that it may be another place to partner with an existing summer camp, and found this wonderful in the west side neighborhood, downtown Chattanooga, that was doing a summer program and an after-school literacy program for kids in the low-income neighborhood across the street from the church. And partnered with them, did summer camp last summer, and we're doing it again this summer. It's for 4 weeks, and we have 35 kids. We do breakfast and lunch and chess classes and painting classes, pottery classes, and music, and reading, and chapel, and games, and field trips, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And it's a lot of fun. A lot of parents have told us that they just can't afford some of the other programs that are available in the city, especially parents who have multiple children. So we put on this day camp, and it is a lot of fun. It's a lot of organized chaos. We are always looking for volunteers, if that is of any interest to you. And I'll be here for a little while after the service. If anyone has any more questions or is interested in getting involved, have to go pick up a church van from Georgia today to use for this week.
Nothing says happy Pentecost like going to pick up a church van.
I didn't get that Pentecost memo. Totally forgot about that. Thank you for giving me that. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Alex. So again, you can support the camp by, if you financially support it, by making a check out to St. Thaddeus, writing day camp in the memo line, or cash directly to Allison. If Allison's not here, you can give cash to me. We'll make sure it gets to the day camp. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
Hey!
Miss Holly, you... Sorry, Dale. It's the Holy Spirit. This Eucharist is offered in the glory of God, in thanksgiving for the Feast of Pentecost, but also in blessing and thanksgiving for this prayer made by hands, Debbie Simon, for God's love for Norma Simon. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the fulfillment of his true promise, the Holy Spirit came down on this day from heaven, lighting upon the disciples, to teach them and to lead them into all truth, uniting peoples of many tongues in the confession of one faith, and giving to your church the power to serve you as a royal priesthood and to preach the gospel to all nations. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and the love which you have made known to us in creation, and the calling of Israel to be your people, and your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection, and we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with Thaddeus and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Behold, behold.
These are the gifts of God. They are for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good.
Thank you.
Good and gracious God, we thank you for Brett. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit to relieve any infection, to take away any illness, to relieve any pain or discomfort. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit to surround him and that whole family as they heal together. Help them to see you. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world of peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Lunch and then go forth to bless and serve the Lord.